Hey, brother, do you know we are on another Rack & Stack Day? But
We
you knew
are.
that because.
It was supposed to be a three-peat today, but we're only going to be doing a tour because our second guest ghosted us a bit.
Something happened, but hey, we'll fix it. We'll figure it out. But we had a great first guest from the industry, and I'm really excited because we was talking just off air. The only thing I'm not sure which I love more. But the industry itself, which I love, the metal roofing and post frame building industry that I've lived in forever, or the virtual marketing, social media world. And I think I would say they're equal now because I feel they go hand in hand if you want to get the best force multiplier effect, right? And it's what you and I live every day. And what's really exciting is the one we have next, our next guest, an industry friend, Amanda Johnson, with several companies we'll talk about in a few minutes, but Roper Whitney, Rollformer, and Tensmith. She's the marketing manager and social media and virtual guru for those companies. And I know she's smiling about that backstage because I worked on that to get it perfect. But I mean, she just brings a absolute breath of fresh air to this industry, and I'm excited about chatting with her about all things industry and social and virtual and whatever else.
Yeah, and I don't want to take away from things that you talk with Amanda about, but one of the things that you told me off camera before Amanda showed up was that when you go to the trade shows, she's always out in front doing videos, doing the social media, doing the blocking, tackling, and engaging that we so love. And it is one of those things that when we go to a show or you've been to a show, and you and I were talking about a show I'm going to, what or how many people were there doing the video, doing the podcasting, and invariably, Randy, you usually tell me one, two. It's never a bunch of people, and as much as I would love to see people doing that, they haven't rolled into that hybrid, side of things. So the fact that Amanda has just goes to show that, she's ahead of the game.
Absolutely. She is ahead of the game. And she won't be in the game at all if we don't quit talking and bring her
I
on.
know, that's right. So
That's a
let's
good
get
segue, wasn't it? You
to
like that? I might get one to ride now because I'm so good at segues.
All right, well, let's get to her.
All right. See
All
you,
right,
brother.
bye.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, there you are, the guru yourself. How are you?
Hi, great. How are you, Randy?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Did you see I got that right, too, didn't I?
You got that perfect.
Oh, I like perfect. You said, was that perfect? You did say perfect, right?
I did.
That's what I thought. Okay, I like that one. Wes, we got a highlight. Perfect. Amanda says I'm perfect. So, anyway, that's it. I'm done now. That's all I needed.
Good, that was easy.
That was easy. See, I told you. I said it might be 30 minutes. I guess I'm at 30 seconds, but that's okay. But welcome. Thank you for being on. I appreciate. We had a great conversation last week about the show, and we've got to know each other virtually. And I think it's really fun as we both knew who each other were. We knew each other were. Is that good English? Yeah, we'll go with that. We both knew who each other were, was, are, whatever the word is. Prior to engaging, first by email or DM or whatever we did. So again, just one of the small powers of social and virtual, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's pretty amazing how. It's a small world, gets even smaller and smaller, and a small industry, and all industries are small, gets smaller and smaller once you just engage with people. So before we get started, I don't know, who in the heck is Amanda Johnson? Let's just figure out who you are first here.
Okay. So before I got in the manufacturing industry, I was actually in the grocery business for close to 10 years. And I worked my way up the ranks. I did all different positions. And I landed as a manager of my own department for the floral department, actually. So it was like my own little business. I did inventory, product ordering. I did display work. I was the manager, so I made the scheduling. And then I decided, you know, I need a new challenge. So that is when I moved to Roper Whitney as field service coordinator. So I was in charge of scheduling the field service technicians for new machinery installs and repairs. And then from there, I moved on into marketing sales role when we brought on. I went kind of fast there, but
that's okay.
So once I started Roper Whitney, which is a equipment manufacturer for sheet metal machines, we manufacture everything in the USA. So once I started with Roper Whitney, again, I was the field service coordinator, and then I moved on into marketing and sales. And then we have two other branches, which are other big name brands, Tensmith and Rollformer, and they are also USA manufacturers of sheet metal equipment. And today I do all of the marketing for all three brands.
So that's almost a full-time job, it sounds like.
Almost.
Well, and for anybody in the industry, let me say, if there's anybody in industry would know probably all three of those names, they should. They're certainly going to know at least two of the three if they don't know them all. Because all old names in the industry and really bring some great product to this beloved metal industry that we all live and work in. So, and the fact that you're doing them all and so well and so busy, it's amazing. And what I really love, as Wes kind of brought up, and he and I were talking pre-show before you came on, that you are out in front at all these trade shows and all these events. You know, you're either in the shop. I've seen you, I think, in the shop, or I assume it's in the shop doing videos in front of equipment or machines. You're at the trade show floors doing the same thing, really bringing a face and a voice to the product. And so maybe one of my first questions, because I love the industry and I love the whole world of social and virtual, is what's the importance of doing that? Because you have three well-known manufacturers. But yep. I think the fact that you bring such a personal touch to it by doing the things you do, and that's, I know, intentional. But let's talk a little bit about why that's important. Why is it important for somebody to actually see somebody, in your case, Amanda Johnson, standing by a machine, talking about a machine? I saw one the other day, you were doing a video and you're doing one of the hand cranks and showing how things adjust. How is that important versus just throwing up some ad with a picture and saying, hey, we make some great stuff?
Well, I think it brings trust to the marketing, and people want to talk to other people. So if you can put a face and a voice to a brand, it brings trust.
I love that, because you're so right, because we're selling stuff, right? We're selling equipment in your case, component parts in my case. But at the end of the day, we really are selling trust. We're selling integrity, ethics, trust, a solution to a problem. Yep. Or a solution to help you become more profitable, whatever that case may be, they probably all go hand in hand. And I think too many times in the world of marketing, we get wrapped up in the thing we're selling as opposed to the end result that we're trying to sell, right? And it's hard to get past a thing if it's just a picture of a piece of equipment or a picture of a fastener or a vent material or something that I sell. You know, cool, but that's a big deal, right? So I think it's really important.
We need to be problem solvers. We need to know what the problem a potential client has, and we need to solve it for them without them even knowing, and just post about it.
Right. So you you attend a lot of trade shows. Do you like doing events from the trade show floor? Because they do it so well. That's kind of fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's so much fun, the trade shows. So many times I meet somebody in person. It's like, wait, I know your voice. What's your name? It's like, oh, my God, yes. Nice to finally meet you. So, yep, again, putting that the face to a person, it's so important.
It is, because you and I both work in, if you want to segment it, I guess, the B2B world, right? We sell business to business. But I always want to talk about, when I say B2B, it's still P2P at the end of the day, people to people, because there's always going to be a salesperson, whatever you want to call us on our side, and a buyer, whatever their title is on their side. And there still has to be that problem solving, that relationship building, that comfort level, that trust level between them to actually probably get to a sale to begin with, and to also allow that customer friend that we've developed to walk away happy they made this choice, and willing to share out that with everybody else, testimonials, right? And to come back again, right? And that's the only way we do that, is to be P2P with people, right?
Yep, absolutely. And machinery is such an investment too. So,
yeah, it's more than $10, right?
Yeah.
and they're spending a lot of money, and it's something that they're going to have to use to make their livelihood for a long, long time. This is a multiple year, I mean, decades long investment in most cases, right? And it better be right, and you better have the confidence level that this decision is the right one. And I think it's where a lot of the things that we can do with social is, there's that upfront, the force multiplier effect upfront of, you could be in front of thousands, if not tens of thousands, of potential prospective customer friends in any given day. Whereas anybody in the sales and marketing world, there are so many phone calls, there's so many emails, there's so many flights and road trips you can make in a given day, right? So you really force multiply, I think, what you can do. But so I'd love to hear more thoughts on that, but also maybe to piggyback on that is, we also, the more, once somebody makes a decision to buy, let's say from Roper Whitney, they want to be able to substantiate that decision for a long time, right? So the more they see Amanda out there talking about the equipment, the more they see other customers talking about the use of the equipment, whatever that may be, you're just further establishing in that buyer's mind, we made a good decision. Because these people are out there, and there's other people happy. So they kind of go hand in hand before the sale, during the sale, and after the sale, right?
Right. Yep. And something you mentioned last time we talked about how, if a company back in the day did not have a website, they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. In today's world, if we are not on social media, it's almost like, as if we don't exist. So I'm posting to every platform I can just to get more brand awareness out there, because that's what we do when we're bored. We're on our phone. We're on the computer. We're looking things up. So it's a missed opportunity if I'm not posting anywhere possible that I can.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because it's a repetition too, right? Throwing out a canned Facebook ad at 3 o'clock on Thursday, I guess, is better than nothing. But if that's all you do, and that's your marketing plan for the next month, you kind of don't really have a marketing plan, right? Sorry, folks. You know, it's got to be on a regular basis, multiple platforms, because the thing that I found, and you and I talked the other day about this too, is by using multiple platforms, you either hit different, like different demographics, right? And you also hit different time frames.
Yeah.
And because not everybody wants, for example, I use LinkedIn a lot. as a B2B guy,
right,
that's still my go-to. If I had to choose one and you was told that's the only thing you can have, Randy, you're limited to one thing, it would be hands down. But with that said, not every buyer of my product goes to LinkedIn a lot. Some may not go there much at all because they like TikTok. They like Instagram. They like Facebook. They like, you name it, X, right? So I think we have to go find our existing potential and current customers where they live, right? Isn't that kind of important? And I think that's what you do very well, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I would say it's definitely important. I would say different platforms, like you said, different demographics, age groups, all kinds, you know. That's why I think it's important to hit all different ones. I do agree with you with LinkedIn being the number one. Absolutely. It's great for networking, meeting great people. Like I met you.
Exactly. But,
yeah, definitely LinkedIn being number one.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, the funny thing is you also, based on myself, and maybe it's just I'm kind of a, because I do a fair amount of social media stuff, I like it. So I tend to be on it a lot, both to be posting or seeing what my customers are doing so I can share their stuff or what competitors are doing, what's going on. Yeah. But we have such you want to go back to the website of yesteryear. Still very important today, right? You need to have that good website, that accurate website, and an alive website that's current and up to date at all times.
Yep.
To go get that in-depth information you want. But I really am glad that you remembered that conversation and agreed, because I'll say this to anybody that'll listen. If they can't find you, and I think it's worth saying again, and you just said it so well, if they can't find you, the bulk of people, I'm not saying there's not some that never get on, don't have any social media presence at all. I get it. There's some of those folks. But the general prospective customer out there, that's where they go for their news. That's where they go for entertainment. That's where they go for almost everything.
Yep.
And if they can't find you, but every day they're finding your competitor, the competitor is going to be front of mind, top of mind all the time, right? And you come out occasionally with something every 5 weeks, you throw up some little picture and your competitor is doing something 15 times a day. Mm-hmm. And over time, they're going to be that go-to person probably, right?
Right. It shows that they care. They care about their company. They care about the products they're promoting. They care about what people know about them. Mm-hmm. If you're not active, then it's almost like you don't care. And people want to work with a company that cares about what they do.
Exactly. You know, I read a statement, and one of these days when I read it, I'm gonna screenshot it so I remember, because I would like to give credit to whoever it was. So if this was yours, claim credit. But if you ain't showing, they ain't knowing. You know.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredibly accurate, because we're in such a nanosecond swipe left, swipe up, swipe down, swipe somewhere mentality today. Mm-hmm. I find myself as definitely at the older end of the spectrum of people that probably use social media on a regular basis. And I find myself, if I'm like 17 seconds in, it's like, okay, I know there's something I want to hear, but I'm already done. I'm done now already. I'm unwilling to wait. So I think it's really important, right? And we talked about, I think, a little bit about shorts and some of that.
Yep.
You got to get that hook, if you will, early, because younger folks definitely aren't going to last very long.
Right. We're trained to get everything instantly. So.
Yes. If I'm not interested in the first second or two or three,
you get 3 seconds and that's it.
Exactly. So you better get out early and get on it. And so I think if we just have to come right out of the gates, bang, it was something important or something interesting, quick, short, tell you what it is I want to tell you quickly. And I think most of it is, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, because I think a statement that I use for myself more than maybe anything else, but done is better than perfect, because perfect doesn't exist and it's a moving bar. It's a moving line in the sand that you'll never hit, right? I'm not saying put out garbage content by any means. And I'm not saying if you just totally flubbed it all up, you don't like do a retake, right? But people want to see raw and organic, don't they? People want to see just Amanda talking about this machine and not this perfectly scripted, you know, Hollywood type thing with directors and producers. They just want to see just Amanda talking about this equipment. So if you follow up a little, or you say something, you do an ah or an oh, or nobody cares. It actually makes you more real, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of editing those out. but I do agree with what you're saying, definitely. Yeah. And I try to simplify what I'm saying too, just to get the point made. I don't want to make it more complicated than it has to be.
Yeah. And that's something I found myself working on is I progressed. Years ago, I would tend to make these much longer videos because I thought I had all this to say, until I finally started realizing that I don't even care what I have to say anymore. So why would anybody else care? Right. And I think that it's important if I've got I think series may be important sometimes. If I've got 15 minutes of stuff I want to talk about, it's probably better to do it in 2 to 3 minute little microburst, right? Than it is to just sit there. Cause I find myself pretty entertaining, but nobody wants to listen to me that long, right? They just don't. They don't want to listen to anything that long. Unless you go to a YouTube, right? Where it's an educational event or situation where I do want to sit now and watch 17 minutes about why this product works and how to use it. That's a different story, right?
Right, because they went there to watch it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
With that intention.
But they're not going to social media. They're going to learn quickly to be entertained. And to move on. So if we don't entertain them and educate them quickly, they will move on, just not pay any attention to us, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, love exactly. It. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say something that I learned recently by working with a professional videographer. Well, it's called Charter & Co. His name is Drew English. He taught me that YouTube isn't always the best sharing platform as far as your videos. So if you go to my website, or not my website, but Roper Whitney's website, you'll notice that I'm not using YouTube links for our product videos. The reason behind that is because if you watch a YouTube video, what are you going to see next? You might see our competitor's video next. So I'm using Wistia to host these videos that you see on the screen, because it won't show you somebody else's video. You're just going to see the video I chose to show you. And then also gives you a product link there so you can go to the product. It's not showing you somebody else's video after the fact.
Gotcha. That's pretty interesting. And it's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah, because it does exactly that. If you're watching a YouTube video, it's not going to show you another Roper Whitney video most likely next. It's going to show you somebody else's. Well, right. I don't want you to see somebody else's. I want you to see mine.
Right, right. Love it. I love it. So tell me a little bit about, we went in reverse order of how I originally intended, but I just, my love for all things virtual and social, I got ahead of myself. But tell us a little bit about Roper Whitney first, or Roll Former, Ten Smith. Let's do a little, minute or two commercial each before we go on anything else about who these companies are, what you guys make, that kind of thing. Because I know we're running the scrolls along the bottom with how to contact you, and they can find the different social platforms at the bottom of the site. But let's start with Roper Whitney. I mean, I've known that name forever.
Oh yeah.
But what do you all do?
So Roper Whitney started in 1910, Rockford, Illinois. That's my home base. That's where I'm at right now. Okay. They started with hand tools. So any for punching, cutting, like the Junior Number 5 hand punch, it's famous. It's been around for 100 years. People still use them, the same model. They're like indestructible. So we started with the hand tools. Then we moved on to bigger products. I would say about 30 years ago, they started the powered folders, which is what we're really famous for today, the auto break. So they started out really small to big. And then now Roper Whitney also introduced the Evo Bend to America. We don't manufacture that one, but we bring it in from Germany. It's a double folder just to further expand our product line. So we have anything from hand tools to huge powered sheet metal folders. Any questions on Roper Whitney?
No, that's for me, and I think most people, if they go to Roper Whitney, they'll find a pretty extensive assortment of really high quality products. I've always known them as, I didn't know they started 1910. I was going to say 1911, so they're a little older than I thought.
Oh, you were close. Yeah, it's hard to cover all of what Roper Whitney does in just a few sentences because the product line is huge. Just keeps going and going. We serve all different, I guess it's all the sheet metal industry, but roofing, sign shops, just anything sheet metal.
Oh, sure. HVAC, I'm sure.
Yep, HVAC, that's a huge one. We have our very well-known Pexto product line. I don't know if you've heard of Pexto, but the crimp machines, the 622s, those are very well-known.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So then along came, I don't know if Rollformer or Tensmith came. I know both, but let's talk about Rollformer a little bit.
So Rollformer, 1978, the name says it all. They make rollforming equipment. They're the pioneers of rollforming equipment. I love Rollformer. The whole team there is great. Since I work remote with them, it's a little more challenging, but learning that product line has been pretty easy with them. But anyway, back to what they do. Roofing panels, all different types, 5V standing seam, soffit machines. What else? They've got perforators. They make seamers. They sell the hand tools too. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of custom machines. So typically the trim machines, the J channel, the drip edge, they do a lot of that. They do some oddball things too. I think they made something for, what was it? Like something for a chicken coop or something. I don't remember what it was, but they do pretty much anything within their scope. I don't know. Their scope's pretty wide, but
yeah. So if somebody has something real specialty scenario, that it's not just an off the shelf of them, they can help design something very specific if need be.
That's what I'm getting at. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Randy.
Perfect. Oh, that's okay. Yes. Very good. Well, that's why it's good to have. And then of course, Tensmith, they go back quite a ways too.
Yep. 1928 for Tensmith, The famous green machines. Mm-hmm. I love that about like scrolling through Instagram, any sheet metal shop, you're always going to see a Tensmith in the background. There's always a Tensmith machine. So they're super well known. They're shears, hand brakes. Of course, they have Tensmith owns both Roper Whitney and Rollformer now. So you'll see the other products on their webpage.
Okay.
So they're like the mother company now.
Got it. Well, you know what you had mentioned that's it's really cool about Tensmith is that they're kind of like the Kleenex or the Formica from the standpoint that people will. So I think people actually will say, "Why I need to get a Tensmith?" Well, their name has been equated to bending metal bending equipment, right?
Yes.
Because they've been around so long.
I love that you said that. So the last trade show that I was at the MRO in Chicago. Aviation Week is what it was. So I was there for our Echoed line, which we bring in from Switzerland. It shrinks and stretches metal. But anyway, I ran into somebody who does machinery auctions, and we were talking about Tensmith, and they're like, Tensmith is like the Kleenex, exactly what you said, that those machines go for like double the price just for the name.
Sure.
Yep.
As Wes popped up, it's a brand nomer, right? It really is. And when you hit that level, that tells you longevity, quality, integrity, just, you're in good hands, right? Because, right. And we all fall, and that's a pretty lofty place to be, because we all fall into that all the time. If the Dixie chick wants me to pick up tissue from the grocery store, from Publix, she'll say, get Kleenex, right? It doesn't mean it has to be Kleenex, just right. Something in a box that you pull out, right? From living in or growing up in my younger years or a lot of years in Michigan, we call it pop, right? Not soda.
But I was thinking this in my mind. You can read my mind.
Yeah. So, but you know what we do? You want to stop and get a Coke? We always say, I want to stop and get a Coke.
Yep.
Doesn't even mean it's going to be a cola. Right. I mean, hell, we could actually mean we're going to get an iced tea or a bottle of water for that matter. But so many of us will say, let's stop at the next gas station and grab a Coke. Right. It just becomes, you know, and when you hit that level, I mean, that says a lot about your brand.
Right. So, yep. And they're in McMinnville, Tennessee. I don't know if I mentioned that.
No, okay. Where's and that? Then, what about Tennessee is that? I don't know that town.
Oh, you got me there, Randy.
That's right. Make it up. We're going to say it's near Murfreesboro just because I like that name of that
You know
town.
What? I think you're right. I think really? It actually is. Yep, it is. And then Roll Formers in Chalfont, Pennsylvania. I didn't mention that either.
Okay. And yep. You work at the – now, are you working remote or you? It looks like you're in an office. Are you working at Roper? Yes. Do you come into the office? Yep.
I do every day. So this is my office, Rockford, Illinois. And then I work on all three here. But obviously the other two are remote. It's a little easier for me to market for Roper Whitney because I can just walk out to the shop, see what they're working on. Oh, that looks cool. Take a picture of different parts of machines before they're assembled, things like that. And it's a little bit of a challenge to do that with the other companies because I'm not there, but it can still be done, obviously. But yeah.
Do you get somebody to shoot some video for you from time to time and then do kind of a voiceover or something, or what do you do with that?
You know, I have not done that. They're usually so busy at the other facilities, so I once in a while I can get them to send me pictures or short videos, but typically if a product video needs to be made, they'll just ship the machine to me. I've done Tensmith videos. They'll ship them here. Roll Former, they'll ship them here. Typically, what we do is before a trade show, a lot of times they'll ship the machines here from the other companies so we can ship everything together. And then either before the trade show or after the trade show, the machines will stay here so I can work on the video.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that in itself speaks to the importance that the powers to be put into marketing, because that's not $25 to ship equipment from Murfreesboro, Tennessee area to Rockford, Illinois, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty hefty cost to do that, right?
Right.
So that speaks highly of the importance that your upper management puts on the marketing.
Oh, yeah.
I would certainly say.
And I'm glad they do, because it is so important, especially in the world we are in today. So,
exactly. It is. And we didn't talk about this one, but this is something that's kind of been in my mind and interesting to my little dinosaur brain is, what about whether it's a builder, contractor, installer, or a manufacturer, supplier, whatever the case may be, that doesn't, what if they're just so busy? We got lots of business. We just really don't need to market ourselves right now because we've just got so much business. I know my thoughts on that, but I'd love to hear your take on that.
Well, eventually business is going to drop. And once it drops, where's the brand recognition? Where's the relationships being built online with engagement? You don't have any of that. So I would say they would still have to do it no matter how busy they are currently. It doesn't mean they'll be just as busy a year from now or 2 months from now.
Exactly. Spot on. Because I read some information the other day that two things I'm going to use in a talk I've got coming up, as a matter of fact, so they're fresh in my mind. and I'll cite the source on my handouts, but I don't have it in front of me. But that 75, back to what we talked about earlier, Amanda, 75% of buyers, even in the B2B world, are influenced by what they see on social media. And that's a big number. Mm-hmm. And the other one that I think is important, that speaks to what we just talked about, and you said so well, is, and I believe some of this I picked up from some LinkedIn source, but I think I did some more research because I found it interesting, that at any given time, at any given time, 95% of customers are not in the market for what you're selling today. 95% are not ready to buy whatever it is you're selling today, which I think is very accurate, especially in your world. Not everybody's ready to buy a several $100,000, $1 million piece of equipment today, right?
And most buyers do their research now. They're looking at the competitors to see all their options to make a choice. They're not instantly just buying something.
Right.
So they're doing their research. At the last MetalCon trade show, I had somebody approach me and introduce themselves, and they said who they were. And it turns out I've been talking to him for over a year about a machine. Gotcha. So that's how long he was doing his research to make the right decision. And eventually he did go with us, but it took a year for him to make the decision.
Well, that's a big decision. That's a capital investment that's even for a large company, it's still got to be justified. And if you're a small to medium-sized company, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, that's a big expense. You want to be right. And so that whole point points out in that 5% at any given time maybe are in the market, tells me that we're doing multiple types of marketing at any given time, right? We're marketing to that person that's getting ready to buy, like right now.
Yep.
But we're equally important in my mind to have been on that journey with them for whatever time they've been on the journey. 6 months, in your case, a year with that gentleman, or I guess it was a gentleman, but we have to be on that journey with them throughout that whole process to where when they finally are getting to a point where I think I need to make a decision now to buy some equipment from somebody. Roper Whitney in that particular case needs to be front of mind, top of mind. And they are because you've told them that to be top of mind 1,000 times, right?
Right.
In that period of a year's time, they've seen stuff. They've seen anything from technical to somebody working on a machine out back to at a trade show. And so you're not just, if you think that I'm going to turn this back on, when, I don't know, we don't have any more jobs. I mean, we're a month out and we don't have anything else. Yeah, it's a little late, folks, right? That's a little late. I mean, maybe a better late than never, but that's a whole different kind of marketing, which is probably going to cost you some money because now you're going to go into discounts. You're going to go into stuff to generate business because you're in a panic mode or in trouble mode. So you really, a lot to me, a big part of marketing, like you said, is that brand recognition, continually being that brand ambassador, and to be marketing for that person that may be a long time down the road yet, but you want to be there when the time comes. You said that so well. So I knew that was your take, or I figured it was based on what you do, but well said, because we're on the same page.
Yeah. Yep.
So you've been very kind with your time. I'm sure you got to go, you know, do a video out back or something. Should ask questions. We don't do frequently asked questions. We like to do should ask questions, which I never heard of until Wes made that up, but I like it. What did we miss today that we didn't talk about that you wished I'd ask? Or if nothing else, just give us your last little blurb about your view on the industry, your view on using social, whatever you want to do. It's the stage is yours, my friend.
I would say one big thing that I do since I cover three different companies and then the other brands that we import, a big challenge for me is keeping up with making sure I'm covering all of those pages or mm-hmm. posting about all those products. So my tip for anyone who has that much to post about or that much to cover is to use a scheduler, a social media scheduler, and I use Metricool. And what that allows me to do is I can plan all of my posts and schedule them all out in advance.
Gotcha.
So I can pull up my calendar for the whole next month and I can see everything that I have scheduled for each handle. So that's how I keep up with all of it.
Gotcha. So, and you just answered my question. I was going to ask it facetiously because I knew that it wouldn't be the case, because anybody as good as what at doing what they do as you are would not do it. A term I like to use sometimes, willy-nilly, which is an old school term for, you don't just wake up today and get into the office, get your coffee and go, I probably should post something about, I don't know, Tensman today, I guess, right? That would be...
When an idea comes to mind, I go and put it in the calendar somewhere because I'm handling, juggling all different things. So if I don't put that in the calendar, I might forget the idea or I might not do it because something else is going to come up. So if I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, I might put it in there as a draft. Hey, that's a good idea. Next time I pull up my calendar, like, oh, I've got that one. Let's finish that up.
Gotcha. So being, and of course, this is your full-time job. This is what you do.
Oh, yeah.
How about for the parting words, I promise, I know you got to go. Parting words for the small, I don't want to say one-man operation, but you know, a small staff, owner, operator, doing everything himself, right? Many hats. You have to have a mindset that this is important and attach the importance to it and schedule, whether you're using a scheduler or not, which is a great idea. I'm going to check that one out, but to realize that I have to put some time into this and I have to be an opportunity seeker, right? Because there's a lot of opportunities to come up with post ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you just are open to being opportunistic, not as in opportunistic as in I'm going to take advantage of something, opportunistic as in, hey, that would make a good post maybe. I do that all the time. I put notes all the time in my phone. Something that pops up that I don't even know what I'm going to do with it yet.
Yeah.
But yes, I know it may be something I might want to use someday. So, and it's really good when you get stuck and you're going, man, I need to do something on this and I have it in a little bit and my calendars tell me it's time. Well, you know what? I got a plethora of stuff I can go back and pull and make a post out of it that gets you out of a jam. But you got to be opportunistic, right? You got to believe that it makes sense.
Right.
And stick to it every day, right? You can't just tip your toe in the water and then pull it back out and not do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, you could. The breeze might feel nice.
Yeah, it might. But, well, good. Well, great stuff. Amanda, I truly appreciate it. It was enjoyable to chat again the second or third time in a week, which has been great. We're going to see you at some show coming up. I'm not sure what next show we'll be together at. But
you're in Florida. Will you be at the Florida Roofing Association?
I probably not, only because I have two. I got a customer event in Novi, Michigan, Detroit area that week. And then I have board meeting for the National Frame Builders Association. I'm on their board of directors. So not unfortunately, because I'm glad I'm going to be doing those, but unfortunately, I probably won't be at the Florida show. But
that's unfortunate. I was really hoping to see you there.
Yeah, now, if it works out to where I've got one day that I can sneak away, I could always fly from Orlando if I had to.
Yep, because it's in Kissimmee. It's near Orlando.
Yep. I do several shows there. At least one or two shows up that way a year. So Wes, we were just talking about, he's got a show out of our industry, but coming up there at the convention center in June as well. So, but anyway, Amanda, thank you again. It's been every bit as good as I thought and better. So thank you so much for your expertise, and keep doing what you do in the industry. You're a shining light out there, and I mean that wholeheartedly, and we love what you do, and keep it up. And so if I don't see you in Orlando, I'll see you at MetalCon or someplace
soon. Okay, well, I hope so.
You got it. All right, it's a deal. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Randy.
All right, bye-bye. That was that good stuff. Industry stuff and sales and marketing, virtual, podcasting, everything about the whole social media world, the force multipliers. It's good stuff. You'll love Amanda. If you don't follow Amanda, follow her for sure. She brings some great stuff. She is a true professional. Love what she does. Don't forget Roper Whitney, Roll Former, and Tensmith, three names that if you've been in the industry very long, and we've established I've been here a while, I've known these names forever. Check them out if you need equipment. Check out Amanda, follow what she does, and just remember, doing it again today. Love what you do and do what you love, because if you live it, you love it, and you own it, you'll remember this. Go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.